It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy.
Thank you. Yes, this is Pastor Sheldon Emery, and I am still offering our May packet of literature, which includes that 20-page booklet, Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People. That booklet has been in publication for several years. We do not know the extent of its distribution, but we do estimate that by this year, 1974, there have been printed and distributed somewhere in the neighborhood of 250,000 copies. And we have found so often that one tract will be read by a number of people, perhaps several families. I would estimate that the readership of this one small booklet on the money system now is upwards of 500,000 people. And for that we praise the Lord. I'm going to give the address where you can get your free copy of Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People in just a moment, so you get a pencil and a piece of paper. I want to read just a portion of two letters of the many scores of letters that we have received from people after they have read this rather short 20-page concise booklet on the money system. Here is one from New Brunswick, Canada. Dear Mr. Emery, I became acquainted with your excellent booklet, Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People, through a Mr., and she gives his name, of Raymond, Alberta, Canada, who sent me my first copy. Persons who have read it say it is the first time they have been able to get a clear picture of the money system. I must say that it is the clearest and most effective description of it that I have come across to date. A group I work with are sold on it, and we would like to have 1,000 copies for distribution as soon as possible. And then she writes some more about some other things. Here is another recent letter from Iowa, in which he says in part, quote, I would like to say that this booklet is the best rendition of this money system that I have ever read. It ought to be in every high school in America and should be a must on a book report handed in before any senior in high school can graduate. Now, these are similar to the sentiments we have read in hundreds and hundreds of letters from people after they have read this 20-page booklet, Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debt to the People. And by the way, this is illustrated with about a dozen well-drawn illustrations drawn by a young man from our church here in Phoenix, Arizona. And the illustrations are so well done that even if you could not understand the simple text, you could understand how the money system robs and plunders our people by literally just looking at the pictures. And of course, some of the pictures illustrate how a money system should operate, so that the money in the nation would not be the basis for debt, but would be nothing more nor less than the medium of exchange, the method of exchanging goods, services, and real wealth, not debt as it is today. The old-timers who know our money system know that every dollar in America has gone into circulation as a new dollar since the presidency of Abraham Lincoln, which is over 100 years, has gone into circulation as a debt. The only way anyone increases the money supply in the land is to borrow it from the bankers with an agreement that they will pay it back along with some additional money. So the payoff of debts reduces the money supply. The only way the money supply can be increased is if additional people keep borrowing more and more and more and more. And that is the way the system operates. Of course, you should read the booklet for a better understanding of it. And you can have your booklet free and postpaid by writing to me, Pastor Sheldon Emery, at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. The zip code is 85010, and I'm going to give that address in just a moment again after I explain why we are not going to go into the subject of the pestilence mentioned in 2 Chronicles 7:13, which we had mentioned last week. I have too much to discuss in my notes and in the Bible study on the money system, the debts, the locusts, the eating up and robbing and plundering of our land, and I want to use at least this additional radio broadcast. Perhaps we'll even extend this for another week. But I will mention this, that when we do get into the subject of pestilence or ill health or disease in America, this will be related to some extent to God's law, where he told our forefathers in Israel, in Deuteronomy 7, among other things, thou shalt be blessed above all people, there shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And of course, this was predicated upon the children of Israel obeying God's laws, which included the laws for cleanliness, disease, food, agriculture, and so on, some of which we will discuss and show how we are disobeying them and bringing these diseases upon us. In Deuteronomy 28, the children of Israel were told in about 45 verses of all of the trials and tribulations they would have if they would not obey, and it includes verses 58 through 60, which read, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, or your children, or the generations to follow, even great plagues, and of long continuous, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuous. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. This disease called cancer in America is one of the diseases of Egypt, and it is upon us because we refuse to obey God's laws, statutes, and judgments. Now, in our discussion of the pestilence, I am going to show that the disobedience of one verse of Scripture, yes, one verse of Scripture in God's law, the breaking of that law is putting perhaps 20% of the American people in their graves 5, 10, 15, and 20 years before they would normally die. And we'll get into that discussion perhaps in a week or two. But I want to continue our discussion in Joel, the locusts, the billionaire financiers who constitute the banking and finance system of the world, who are robbing and plundering the American people and Christendom. Again, my address is Pastor Sheldon Emery, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, and the zip code is 85010, and you can have the May packet of literature, which includes that tract, Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People, along with our May bulletin, which is a written report of the 2 weeks that four of us spent in Washington, D.C. talking to congressmen. Both of them go together. I believe you will be enlightened rather amazingly by reading the illustrated booklet, Billions for the Bankers. Those will come to you free and postpaid, simply for the asking. I would remind our older listeners, of course, that we do solicit your prayers and your offerings to keep this radio broadcast on the air. All right, turn with me back to the prophet Joel again. The entire prophecy of Joel is a prophecy of locusts, cankerworms, caterpillars, and palmer worms eating up God's people Israel, and he describes the eating up of the people by saying that these locusts are, in verse 6, Joel 1, a nation. In other words, a people who come upon God's land and rob and plunder it. As we read this description, we see that there is a call for a fast for the children of Israel three times in this short prophecy of Joel. The first one is in verse 14 of Joel 1, "Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord." That call for the fast is repeated in the next chapter, after we see the first 11 verses of chapter 2 are a literal description of world communism. Then in verse 12, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning." So Israel is called again to fast. Then in verse 15, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly." Three times God's people in Zion are called to fast. And that fast, believe it or not, is not abstaining from food, but that fast is a fast that has something to do with economics and finance. Now, I do not believe I'll get to the fast on this broadcast. I do not have enough time, because I want to go to the book of Revelation to show that this worldwide system of control is economic and financial. Now, it is true that Revelation 17 and 18, the description of the destruction of mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, is generally taught as religious, and very little mention is made of the economic aspects of this great whore called Mystery Babylon. But I think for our study, our people must understand that the worldwide controlling system that now rules over all of the nations of the earth and is robbing and destroying the fruits of the labor of the workers of Christendom is not a religious system. It controls religion, but it is not religious. It is economic. And we'll read the verses in Revelation 17 and 18 that prove that. You should read the entire chapters. I won't have time to read all of them. But in verse 4 of Revelation 17, we read part of the description. "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication." So here we see the great wealth of this great whore of Babylon, that she is anti-Christian and is responsible for the deaths of Christians. We read in verse 6, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus." Now, as we go along here, most of my old listeners know that I do not ascribe to, and in fact I preach against, the doctrine that the Christians are going to be taken off from the earth prior to some great tribulation. That doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church is absolutely false. It cannot be substantiated by Scripture, and in fact, somewhere between 50 million and as high as 100 million professing Christians have been martyred in the last 60 years under world communism, and the foolish Christians in Christendom still believe they will be taken off from the earth prior to tribulation. No, my friend, we are in tribulation. We have been in tribulation for several generations, and this great world system of control described here in Revelation 17 and 18 exists now. In verse 18, we see that it does reign over all the earth, because the angel told John, "The woman which thou sawest is that great city or system." A city in Bible prophecy is a system of rule, just as Zion is called the city of the Lord, or the rule of the Lord, "which reigneth over the kings of the earth." So this system, at the time of Revelation 17 being fulfilled, is a world-ruling system. In chapter 18, I read in verse 3, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy." Is it possible that this great worldwide hoax of a shortage of oil, which is now going to bring the oil companies somewhere in the neighborhood of $80 billion more in a year or two for their oil. Is it possible this is part of the world system of Babylon? Yes, of course it is. We read on in the chapter 18 of Revelation of its destruction. And remember, Revelation 17 and 18 is the description of Babylon's destruction, not its building. In verse 11, "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more." The merchandise is listed in the next two verses, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, and then it goes on down through less valuable commodities, the least valuable being slaves and souls of men. The United States of America, whose government is under the control of this world system, if it controls all governments, carried out a war in South Vietnam for about 10 years where 1 million Asiatics were killed, possibly 2 million, where at least 55,000 to 100,000 American soldiers died in battle or of wounds. Another 150,000 to a quarter of 1 million were wounded or maimed for life. Nothing was done except great property was destroyed and millions were killed. But the bankers in America now own $50 billion more of U.S. bonds from the money our government borrowed from them to finance the war. That was the purpose of the war in the first place, to add additional debt to the workers in America and Christendom. Yes, slaves and souls of men, or lives of men, is a cheap commodity in the system of Babylon. That's why God says of his system, when he breaks this power, "I will make a man more precious than fine gold." This order of economics under which we operate today, where merchandise and wealth is the most important, will be completely reversed in Christ's kingdom. Verse 15, to show further the economic aspects of Babylon, "The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, and weeping and wailing, and say, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, and purple, and scarlet, and decked with gold, and precious stones, and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster, and all the company in ships, and sailors, and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning." They will be sorrowful because their ability to make great fortunes on war, trade, and plunder will be gone. Verse 19, "They cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate." Now that this worldwide economic control system is responsible for all wars and for all the deaths of these millions of Christians is obvious by verse 24. "After she is destroyed, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." As this worldwide economic system of plunder is destroyed, the people of the world will come to understand that it was this system which caused all the wars of all of history. Now, I have Paul Scott's column of February 26, 1974 in front of me. I want to read a portion of it because what he tells about in here is Babylon solidifying her control of all of the world. He begins the column, "If you want an insight into what kind of a world is going to emerge from the current energy crisis," and this is about the oil shortage, "keep your eyes glued on the International Monetary Fund. The financial and monetary problems created by the quadrupling of crude oil prices have placed the International Monetary Fund in a strategic position to become one of the most influential international agencies in the world. As a starter, the IMF is preparing to assume its new role by granting Italy a $1.2 billion loan to pay for the increased costs of oil imports. Other massive IMF loans running into the tens of billions of dollars will follow. These IMF credits will go to industrial and undeveloped nations to meet the $79.3 billion worldwide increased cost of oil from 1972 to 1974. Of that amount, Europe and Japan alone must pay $55 billion, and obviously the balance is America. In the years ahead, most of these nations will be hard-pressed to do anything but meet the interest payments on the massive loans that will be needed yearly to pay for the increased oil costs. H. Johannes Wittbeam, the IMF's Director General and a leading advocate of world government, believes these economic conditions will set the stage for the International Monetary Fund to create, quote, committees of international experts to advise these governments on the policies that they must follow to manage their economies and finances. In other words, the International Monetary Fund, which is controlled by the international bankers, will send their people into every government in the world to tell them what they must do in order to pay the interest on the billion-dollar loans. Complete economic and financial control of every country of the world. Not by invasion by military armies, not by destruction by missiles from the sea and from the air. No, by a phony hoax that raised the oil prices to put debts on every government of the world. I can't read the entire column, but Paul Scott closes the last few paragraphs. Wittbeam recently told his organization's Committee of 20, a group concerned with international monetary reform, that the IMF authority must be expanded so it can become the central international agency to manage the world's monetary and financial problems. This plan of action fits into Secretary of State Kissinger's grand design for creating a new international order by developing or expanding international structures to handle the world's energy, monetary, food, population, and environmental problems. In addition to the World Energy Conference of Industrial and Oil Producing Nations that Kissinger is now organizing, there will be international action conferences on monetary reform in July, population control in August, and food control in November before the end of the year. End of Paul Scott's column. I do not know whether Paul Scott knows anything at all about Bible prophecy, but what he is describing there is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. What he is describing, you will understand very simply how that works by reading my booklet, Billions for the Bankers, Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People. For your free copy, you write to me, Pastor Sheldon Emery, at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. In the moment remaining, I want to read just two short items to prove that the United States of America's government is in complete cooperation with this international system. On page 8 of the U.S. News and World Report of April 22nd, I read this. Attorney General William B. Saxby has overruled the General Accounting Office and authorized the Export-Import Bank to make new loans to communist countries. Among newly approved deals, a credit enabling Yugoslavia to buy jet aircraft and a loan to Russia for construction of an international trade center in Moscow. In other words, the American government is ordered to make these loans to her enemies to buy the sinews of war and world trade. I have a Washington newsletter, quote, Congressman Ben Blackburn, member of the International Trade Subcommittee of the House Banking and Currency Committee, in a recent press conference stated, quote, I have received highly reliable information which causes me to worry about the manner in which Secretary of State Kissinger may be conducting detente. Accordingly, I find cause to fear that under the appealing guise of détente, the Kremlin leaders may be exacting from Mr. Kissinger what may prove to be sophisticated surrender. Blackburn further asserted, quote, U.S. and British computer technology is being used to build a Soviet military machine which could be used to dominate or destroy the U.S. and the world. It is known that American technical know-how was used by the Soviet to build the feared Russian multiple intercontinental missile system. And there's more in that Washington newsletter that I cannot read, but the United States government is literally being ordered to provide these things for alien nations as they desire them. And by and large, the American taxpayer and worker is paying for them. In Revelation 17, we read of a world system of economic control which reigneth over the kings of the earth. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to go back into the prophecies to further describe the destruction of that system and our release from their control. Praise ye the Lord. So let me hear from you. Let me know you are listening. The announcer will give the address. Until next week, goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bible and pray for Christian America.